A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We're all about community, growing community through commerce, making wherever you're living just a little bit better each and every day. Proudly presented by the good community-minded people at Horicon Bank. So we're going to stay true to our mission today on the show, but maybe do a few kind of community-adjacent topics, if you will. We're going to talk about networking. We'll look into the box of your cell phone package for your family, make sure that you're saving money and doing the right things there. What does safety look like in the workplace? And I think we're going to have some time at the end of the show. We're going to give you some suggestions on what you should be watching this summer to really grow that community spirit within you. I have a great show that I just started watching that it's not only truly entertaining, but I feel like after every episode, I've learned a little bit too. So a bit of around the horn today, community connections and creativity. Ted Lukash is going to join us. Ted's a former telecom executive, really a networking expert too. He's passionate around community building, working with Axe Housing for the last several years. We're going to talk about that organization. He's on the library board in Mequon and Thiensville and has some really good insights as to how boards should approach safety in community spaces. How do you keep libraries, how do you keep facilities that we all enter each and every day safe and effective for all of us as patrons? He's also a consulting partner at the Era Group. Ted will be joining us in the next segment. Also on Wednesday, the Great Milwaukee Summer kicks off right outside here, right outside the Good Karma Brand Studios in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Wednesday, June 11th from 5 to 10 p.m. right on Wisconsin Avenue is the first Milwaukee night market of the season. I hear that Sandy Max, my wonderful teammate here, we'll do What's on Tap live from the Milwaukee Night Market with her show. There's just so much energy with this event. 220 plus vendors, not to mention 20,000 people right on the street, right on Wisconsin Avenue. In 2021, the Westtown Association, which I am very honored to be the board president of, acquired the Milwaukee Night Market, and we've really strategically grown it through the years with a lot of amazing partners. You can expect to see amazing things this year, a lot of new vendors. The July event is actually going to be a retro rewind event with a bunch of vintage vendors, some new vendors, some existing people that have almost been there since day one, including 414 Milwaukee, really a staple of the night market, the streetwear brand that's dedicated to celebrating everything about the people and communities of Milwaukee. So put it on your list. I saw this, I think it was Tuesday. There's a national site called Chowhound that covers entertainment, dining, drinking. Chowhound named the Milwaukee Night Market one of the, quote, 12 absolute best night markets in the United States. So we're in good company with the Atlanta International Night Market, the Asian Night Market in downtown Las Vegas, and the B Chinatown Night Market in San Francisco are just three of the others that made the list. It's really cool to see Milwaukee getting these accolades and being a part of these huge national lists and just showing, you know what? We do things right here in this community. As we do each and every show, I got a couple things that you need to know right now. So we're going to do a segment we like to call Two Up.
Now it's time for the Two Up on the Upswing.
First thing in the business and community world that I'm seeing that you need to know about right now, there'll be a new Sendix store in downtown Whitefish Bay. Now, this is the Balistrary, the Red Bag Sendix. Whitefish Bay has approved a new tax incremental financing district, a TIF, that's going to spur continued redevelopment in its downtown, which is that Silver Spring Drive strip. It's going to focus on two new projects, a new Sendix food market and the transformation of the Fox Bay Theater into a live entertainment venue called the Argo. This TIF district is going to cover more than 7 acres of land. It's going to be expected to generate $11.3 million in new land value, including $8.3 million from the new Sendix and $3 million from the new Argo venue. So the new Sendix store is going to replace that existing store that has been there for years. Sendix is still working on traffic studies to determine the necessary site improvements. That store is a vital part of that North Shore community for sure. I'm sure it will be missed, but you know what? It's getting a little old. They probably need some new storage areas. They need more parking like most groceries do. So it'll be fun to see that area continue to evolve. Next up, I know something that's on your summer list. Get into a wonderful Culver's for a little custard and burger. There's a lot of new Culver's coming. First, I did a little price check for you, just so you were level setting here. A single butter burger at Culver's. Any guesses? $3.79 right now. 390 calories, though. And a single scoop of custard is $2.89. You add a dollar and you get another scoop. So $3.89 pushes you to 590 calories, though. But Culver's new locations coming in 2025 across the state of Wisconsin. Coming to Eau Claire, coming to Combined Locks, and to Evansville. Company spokesman said this week, Eau Claire already has three other Culver's locations. Combined Locks and Evansville are getting their very first Culver's locations just in time for the wonderful custard summer season. We'll be right back. I'm Jeff Sherman. This is The Upswing, and we are proudly presented by Horicon Bank. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Ted Lukash joins us in studio. Ted, I appreciate you taking time out of your day to spend a little bit of it with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So for fans that don't know your full story, your full journey, why don't you give us a little bit of your background? Our paths cross almost every day. We have co-working space together at Work Lofts on the east side of Milwaukee. You spent some time as a freelancer at onmilwaukee.com back when I was there doing music and more, and you're still pretty passionate in that space. But you've had a really interesting community journey that kind of anchored in networking and a whole lot more. So give us the quick kind of Ted Lukash story.
Oh, thank you. So I was born and raised here. I went to Madison and graduated out in the early 90s. And it was kind of a soft job market similar to what it is now. So yeah. I decided to join my family business, which was a small mom and pop phone store.
Okay.
My mom was a true pioneer. She had an unconventional message. She wanted everybody to own their own phone instead of renting it. It was her dream. So she would have a big sign behind her that showed the 12-month breakdown. And then by that point, you were in the green. So it was a pretty
unique time. 12-month cost breakdown?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. So, that's an early financial lesson, too. That's good.
Yeah. So it was different times. I actually had to explain that to my kids. You used to rent phone equipment. So, but during that time, I decided it was time to expand. So we added cellular service, which helped jumpstart the business. And then through hard work and dedication to client experience, we became AT&T's largest single dealer in the area. And then in 2014, I sold it off to GameStop, and they brought me back and offered me a role as their Midwest Business Channel Director. Hmm. So I eventually GameStop sold off, as we all know, and went into bankruptcy prior to bankruptcy, they decided to sell our division off. And I did sell my stock options early.
Okay. So I didn't get to enjoy the ride. That's good.
From there, I joined AT&T Direct, worked up to a senior exec, staying true to my personal brand. I wanted to help organizations that are, in a more impactful way. So last year, I joined UK-based Era Group as a consulting partner, assisting organizations and reshaping their spend. Learning about these companies and how we can help strengthen their missions and bottom lines has been an incredible experience. Somewhere along the way, I raised three kids with my wife as well.
Well, that's the most important aspect of community building for sure. The families that we're all working on each and every day. But without a doubt, like throughout your journey, networking has played a really critical path in terms of not only growing your original business, but kind of creating your consulting business now with Era Group. How do you choose? There's so many great options in the greater Milwaukee area. How do you choose the right business group to really build your network strategically?
That's a very personal decision, and it's tricky because you want to be genuine to yourself. You don't want to join a group like a BNI group, for example, where it's all like just handing business cards back and forth and leads if that's not you.
Right. You don't want you never want networking to just be transactional, right?
No.
I had a former boss of mine, Joe Sweeney, who always told me, "Sherm, Jeff, networking is a place to give, not get." So no matter what group you connect with, is that a philosophy that you like to take?
Very much, yeah. It's all about the give and take and being, like you said, genuine and true to yourself. If you run into a group and you don't feel comfortable, I think a lot of people feel like they're trapped. I had one recently where I just left. I said, "I'm sorry, this isn't working out, and it's time to spend my time on something else."
Yeah.
You really got to be interested, and they have to be interested in what you're saying, or it just isn't going to work.
And do you find, is there a point of difference in terms of the approach, whether it's, I know you and I share this, we're pretty lucky in this market to have some strong business news publications that put on marquee events. Mm-hmm. Are going to events like that, is that part of your networking strategy?
Absolutely. Yesterday, or a couple of days ago at this point, I was at the BizTimes Family and Closely Held Summit. As a former family business, it probably would have been really handy about 10 years ago when I was looking to exit. But it gave me some great perspectives on that model. I made a couple of connections when I was there. So my suggestion to everybody is go a little bit outside your comfort zone and try something a little different. You never know what's going to happen. Going to one event isn't going to change anything.
Yeah. So, that's a great tip for no matter if you're a recent college graduate or if you're 65 years old and still running your business, like getting uncomfortable at an event, getting outside yourself to meet somebody new is really going to help not only build your community, but it's going to help you build your confidence. And we all need to continue to grow ourselves.
Well, your brand gets expanded. So, I mean, I've been now at this about a year in my new life of attending events like that and a bunch of different swaths of areas. And your personal brand is really important. And being represented in one group as one way and another group as another way can be confusing. So make sure that you have, a strong, clear message on what you're doing and how you can help the other people in your group, like you were saying earlier. It's very important.
Very good. We're talking with Ted Lukash. Ted is a consulting partner with the Era Group. When we come back, I have a recent experience, Ted. I need to run past you. I was putting together a cell phone package for my family. And we're going through all the different options, which can be pretty overwhelming. And I think I maybe made the mistake of diving into the insurance package for our 13-year-old daughter. I don't know. You're probably going to tell me if I'm right or wrong, but I want to tackle that when we come back. You're listening to The Upswing. This is WTMJ. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Community connections. Well, maybe some connections through your local cell phone provider. Joining us in studio is Ted Lukash. Ted is a former telecom executive, current consultant at the Era Group. Ted and his family and partners owned a business called Phones to Own that was an AT&T supplier back in the day and partner. So, Ted, I wanted to talk to you about specifically cell phone insurance. And I don't know, maybe my story is somewhat similar. I have a family plan. I have two kids on my plan. My wife and I share. So we have four people on our cell phone plan. And as I was kind of renewing the plan about a year, year and a half ago to save some money, and I guess I just kind of believed it, but I opted in to the insurance policy for our youngest child, thinking, you know, she's probably the one that the phone's going to fall and crack and who knows what happens. So I went in for the insurance policy. But then after a month, I started looking at the costs. I looked at the deductible. I looked at the replacement cost. And I just did the cost-benefit analysis. And I'm like, whoa, it's probably not worth the $50 that I'm spending. Can you shine some light on, A, putting together cell phone plans on a family basis, but also kind of the pros and cons of buying cell phone insurance?
Yeah, so it's kind of a tricky situation because they obviously offer them and are kind of sometimes high pressuring them onto people for a reason. They're very, very valuable for the bottom line for the cell phone carriers. It doesn't matter which one.
I sense that in the sales pitch.
Yeah, so they all have their own little pitch. The 87 million people break their phone thing. I've probably heard that 100 times. But the whole point of the cell phone insurance, like you were saying, is it's really bottom line oriented for you and your family. So some of the family plans can work, but you have to have exactly the right number of people. So, for example, my former employer had a program that worked for 10 lines, and it was $45 or whatnot. That would work, especially if you were in masonry or construction or something where you're going to damage the equipment or high propensity for loss, something like that. So there are increases where it will work, but for the most people, you're going to get by with simply either doing one of a couple of things. One trick you can do, a hack, is you can go in and use your credit card and make sure that it covers electronic damage. So that's kind of a neat little.
So you may already be covered through
exactly
another platform, if you will.
Yeah, okay. Check out the T's and C's. Make sure it covers it. And a lot of times they'll cover it for a year or two.
Okay.
And that will get you past your little pivot point on whether or not insurance makes a sense.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. The second thing is I always recommend, especially with Apple, is make sure that you get the tempered glass shield. They're fairly cheap. You can pick them up on Amazon $2 for $5 in most cases. Do it early. If you know you're getting a new phone, buy it in advance because they're harder to put on once you get fingerprints and a little dust on there. But those work like magic.
I don't know if you'll be comfortable answering this as a former store owner, but should I buy those products through the store or should I buy them through a third party? Like, what's that saving? Sometimes I think when I go to the store I go to, they're throwing stuff in. They're saying they're throwing stuff in, but then you look at the bill, you're like, well, I don't know.
There's a reason why. They'll do a case and glass combo because those glass are very inexpensive and they know that. But in the store, they're charging you basically a premium because they're putting it on for you. Most people can handle it. It's not that tough. So I would recommend.
It feels really good that when you're sitting there, you're like, oh, you're going to install this for me. You're going to make it look nice. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be safe. And that, hey, that's part of it. I get it. And I know then I have a trusted advisor to go back to.
Yeah. So it makes everything a little more muddy is now if you bought your phone directly from Apple or Samsung or Google, they will offer upfront insurance where you can buy it for a couple $100 and then that will cover you.
Okay.
So you've got to do your math there too.
Right.
Those are good. Then there's third party ones like Echo, Square Trade. There's a whole nother subcategory of people that offer insurance as well. So it's tough to navigate. Everybody's going to have their own individual, rule of thumb. If you're paying $10 a month and the phone's an $800 phone. You can do the math. At 80 months, you've paid the phone off. So it doesn't really make sense. And I don't see how that works for most people.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, to your original point, it's a personal decision. Yeah. But if you're a little bit more accident prone, if you have a pricier phone, if you need that sense of, wow, this is going to cover me, then do it. Yeah. But you got to look at all the costs. You got to itemize and you got to really know what you're buying into, because it just may not have the benefits you think it might.
Yeah, and then another point, auxiliary point is these are no contract. So if you're at a pivot point on your phone cost, you can cancel it. So, you know, even if you're spending $7 or whatever it is, at a certain point, it just doesn't make sense. Take it off. It'll save you some money in the long run.
Very good. We're talking with Ted Lukash. Ted, I really appreciate your insights here. That's a great final point on this segment, that we as consumers have that ability to connect with the company and take things off our bill. Sometimes it's a process. Now there's actually some AI tools out there that will take care of some of this for you. But if you have an extra thing on your bill, no matter who the company is, figure out a way to get it out of there. You don't have to pay for that for 12 months just because you don't want to go through the hassle.
Exactly. And refresh on plans all the time. Make sure you're in communication.
Very good. When we come back, is your workspace ready for an emergency? This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Community connections, workplace, and more. Thanks for joining us. We are joined in studio by Ted Lukash. Ted's a managing partner at the Era Group. Ted, as you look at the workspace environment, emergencies are going to happen, right? But we want to make sure that whether it's workplace or especially the community spaces that we're all going to, we want to make sure that they're ready. And I know you have some pretty unique experience with this. You're the president of the F.L. Weinberg Library in Mequon and Thiensville, obviously a very welcoming community space. But knowing that when people go into the library, things can happen, whether it's a medical emergency or whatnot. What, from a community lens, are boards like the ones that you chair doing to make sure that community places and workplaces are safe for everyone?
Yeah, it's a very important point for us moving forward. I think, like, last year it really came to a head. We actually had a patron death in our library, and our head librarian Rachel Mushin Young did an unbelievable job of mitigating the situation and moving us through the next steps. It shined a light on it because it hadn't happened prior in the entire life of the library, and she ended up we ended up getting into an ERP agreement quickly with the county, so we were really lucky. We didn't have one in place prior. I don't know if I'm getting anybody in any trouble. I don't think so, but we didn't have it. It wasn't on our radar.
But just from an employee standpoint, that's a really good question to ask. No matter where your workplace is, like, is there an emergency response plan in place, and what is it in case of fire, in case of any type of emergency? It's something we all need to know.
Yeah, so it's not just handling the situation as it happens; it's what happens next, and the effect on your employees can be long-lasting. So you want to make sure that they're being treated as well as the situation's being treated seriously.
In terms of other preparation, I mean, there's so many things that you can prepare for. Are you looking at CPR, seizure, Narcan training? Like, what do you do from kind of a management standpoint to make sure that you're covered and the community, no matter what the community is that you're serving, has access to the right services?
Yeah, it's pretty complex. Yeah. I mean, especially like in our particular library, we're next to a pool. We're next to a park that has bike path behind it. There's a lot of situational awareness to that, and that we are their locus or their closest place to come into once something happens. Yeah. So we have we do have Narcan. We approved that last year. We have seizure training that we can take online through the Epilepsy Center. I highly recommend it. It's a about a 4-hour class.
Okay.
I took it myself.
Hmm.
I loved how easy it was. It was very straightforward. A lot of learning there. The mental illness management piece is very common, especially in the library community, on how to handle that and address people in an ethical and respectful way, but also making sure that there's no disruptions or problems.
Yeah. I mean, every company's got to handle it differently, but I've even noticed, like, here at Good Karma Brands, through ADP, where our payroll is processed, there are different tools to learn different skills, whether it's CPR or whatnot, just to learn the basics. There's a lot of different platforms that companies can tap into.
Yeah, and active threats is a whole nother, that's a whole nother episode, a whole nother show. But, you know, those are, these are things that when I first started out in retail 30 years ago, weren't on anybody's radar. You know, in fact, our theft policy at my family store was go get them. I don't think that worked real well.
Right, yeah.
You know,
when
I got to AT&T, that was a vastly different approach.
You were running that store before, like all the phones were locked up and they all had sensors on them and everything.
Yeah.
And
it was different era. Different times.
Yes, for sure. All right. I wanted to talk a little bit about team building and training options. When you talk about team building, really building community, whether it's within a community institution like a library or a workplace, what are some of the effective approaches that you've seen? Again, there's so many new tools in this space. I think it, from a management standpoint, like, wow, there are so many options to tap into. How do you best narrow that down?
Well, it's another tough one because for me, it's very personal. I found a career coach that's amazing. You can call them 10 different names, gurus or whatnot, but they all have different skill sets, and you've got to, I interviewed a couple of them until I found the correct one that was really helping me with my path and goals. So I would recommend that for teams, when you're doing team building, Action Coach, Vistage, there's a number of local groups that work that are, those are chains, but there's some very talented local people that do small group training specific for certain industries or community organizations for nonprofits. There's a few. So you want to look out for those. And the big key is make sure you get a referral. You know, talk to somebody who's used them. They'll make sure that they're giving you the right messaging and not just, you know, using AI to generate to generate what you need. So.
Yeah, make sure you're doing your homework. If you're going to hire a coach or you're going to do some really effective team building, you got to know what you're getting into, and you got to pick that style that fits your team and your organization and looks into your goals.
Yeah, if that's not you and you're not a big person-to-person person, then you may want to try LinkedIn and Salesforce, and there's another one called Coursera, which a lot of my partners use, and that is a direct training. That's certification training. Coursera uses Keller Williams, and you actually can get university credit and accreditation through a lot of their programs. And those are more of a talk at you type situation, not necessarily. I mean, there's participation, but it's a different deal. Those are well worth looking into.
Yeah. And again, you can do those on your own time, too, at 8 o'clock at night when you have an extra half hour to just tap into that training and to make yourself better.
Yeah. The LinkedIn ones are really good. I've gotten a lot out of those.
Very good. We're talking with Ted Lukash. Ted, when we come back, I want to touch briefly on Axe Housing. I know an organization that's near and dear to your heart. And you were so kind recently to take me on a tour of some of the homes in Greater Milwaukee that Axe Housing has been involved with. So I'm interested to hear more about this organization. And we'll give an update on the organization's latest fundraising goal. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We're joined in studio by Ted Lukash. Ted is a managing consulting partner at the Era Group, community advocate, and much, much more. Thankful that Ted's taken some time out of his day to spend it with us here. Ted, I know an organization you've been involved with for a few years is Axe Housing, and this week, Axe marked its 30th anniversary by announcing the final phase of its $26.4 million Opening Doors campaign. Now, you invited me a couple weeks ago on a bus tour. We looked at some of the homes that the group has refurbished, amazing families living in these homes. But it was really encouraging to me to see an organization like this reaching out to coach people on how to get into the home ownership game. Mm-hmm. So I don't care where you live or where you're from. Everyone needs that financial coach because it's a huge financial decision. So I like just from your lens and your couple years working with the group, and I'm hopeful in a couple weeks we're going to have the Axe Housing president and CEO Michael Gossman on the show to really shine the light on the organization as a whole. But I want to talk about, you know, your involvement and just kind of through your lens what the nonprofit has been able to do specifically in the city of Milwaukee.
Well, it's a pretty amazing story if you look at the what the impact is that Axe has had on the community. We talked a little bit earlier about my mom, you know, changing people from renting phones to owning them and the impact that would have. And this is 50 times that or more. You know, so this is a similar concept, but it's done at an elite level. They have an amazing formula that brings people into the fold by making sure that they know what they can afford, what they're spending now. They come in and they do the counseling and coaching, and then they move them into having a real estate agent help them. It's very hard to have somebody sell you a home under $100,000 because they're mostly on commission, and those commissions don't pay. So there's very few licensed brokers that will take those type of properties on. So Axe has a whole internal team that will do that. And then at the next step, they help you analyze what you need to do. They rehab in terms of what the budget's going to be and then how to get there. Is it going to be borrowing through them? Is it borrowing through a bank or whatnot? And then how you're going to do that rehab work. The formula is incredibly successful. They've reclaimed neighborhoods all over the city in different markets. Last year, there was over 300 homes that were brought back into ownership, local ownership, and that just strengthens the community.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is true community building 101. I mean, you talk about generational wealth. I mean, everyone wants to get into home ownership. With that, wow, 20 years, 30 years down the road, you're able to pass it along to a family or you're able to sell it, make a little bit of money, make a lot of money, and move on to the next thing. But you got to know what you're getting into to sort of have that coach and to have that nonprofit organization behind you. It's so incredibly important.
Yeah, and the homes we toured, one of I think both of them were duplexes. And that just it makes so much sense because at a certain point you can rent out the other unit to cover it. Just they're setting people up for success, and they're doing it in a professional, proper, and strategic manner that is truly an inspiration for the city.
Yeah, you're creating stronger, healthier families. I saw something in the materials that Axe provided that 69% of the families who purchased a home through Axe Housing still own their home today. So, I mean, there's a legacy component there. And then families that have worked with Axe to buy a home have median equity in their homes of more than $72,000. So they've got into the home buying game and accumulated equity to use and grow their families and be a stronger part of the community. I really heard that loud and clear from the families that we talked to.
Yeah, I'm honored to be any part of that organization. So even if it's just a big mouthpiece.
That's right.
I don't know if I can come up with the $26.4 million they're looking for on the Opening Doors, but I'll keep looking.
That's right. It's important to continue to grow the organization and to build community for sure. We'll be right back. I'm Jeff Sherman. This is The Upswing, and we are proudly presented by Horicon Bank. Welcome back to The Upswing, proudly presented by Horicon Bank. All right, finally, it's kind of summertime here, and I don't know how you and your family tackle watching TV, if we're calling it TV still, but watching whatever streaming service. But I pick one show per season to dive into. I got too much sports and stuff going on in my life, so I just pick one show. And for me, I've kind of chosen to dive into a show called The Pitt that is now on, I think it's called HBO Max again. I think it was Max for a while. It was HBO. Now it's back to HBO Max. But I've really been impressed with what I'm learning from this show. It's anchored in Pittsburgh in a community hospital, and it really showcases the community through the patient's challenges. There's mass shootings, there's drug problems, there are challenges between management and the doctor staff. But it's all kind of has this really hyper-personal lens to it. And I feel like, wow, I'm not only really interested in the drama that's taking place in this emergency room, but I'm learning about my community. So, hey, this is how I'm tying in my TV watching to what the Upswing mission is all about. But I'm interested in, so what show are you watching right now, and what are you getting out of it? And maybe it's a show that has nothing to do, like, the impact and, you know, the high-mindedness of my TV viewing now, which is The Pitt.
That's a high bar. Mine is a much lower bar. So as a former music writer, Louder Milk, which is an amazing comedy drama. It's the Farley guy from Something About Mary, Dumb and Dumber. Oh, and nice. Then Ron Livingston, who everybody knows, from a bunch of movies. But Will Sasso's on it. It's a unique, fun, heartwarming view for... You've got to watch it to know it. But the only thing is, I got to warn you, is Netflix is pulling it at the, I think,
ooh,
soon.
Okay.
But it's an easy binge watch. There's three seasons, and they keep teasing a fourth.
Okay.
So I would definitely tackle that hard.
All right. Very good. Put that on your list. Add The Pitt to your summer viewing as well. Another little side note on The Pitt. I've always thought that Pittsburgh and Milwaukee are very similar cities. Have you been to Pittsburgh recently?
Yeah.
They have that same kind of working class feel. They're anchored in colleges and universities. Obviously, Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh is such a strong part of what that community is all about. And sports are so strong in Pittsburgh, too.
Yeah.
So another reason to watch The Pitt is you get that sense that, you know, Pittsburgh, Milwaukee, we're all kind of in this together.
Yeah.
Very good. Ted Lukash joining us on The Upswing today. I appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of the summer, and I'm sure we're going to see you in and out of the office very soon.
Thank you again.